first tour without one of the most familiar voices to everybody, not just in the UK, but to in here in Barbados as well. 10 months ago, the world of cricket lost one of its greatest friends. Now, during a career that lasted over half a century, his was a voice that transported listeners to the sunshine of the Caribbean, describing some of the game's most iconic moments. And it is here in his home of Barbados that Tony Kozier is perhaps missed most of all. Now, shortly after his death, we paid tribute to Tony on Test Match Special, getting memories from our team and those that had worked with him during his career. And in our first series in the West Indies, without the presence of his distinctive lilt, we're going to take the chance to remember Tony from the perspective of the islands he meant so much to.
Here comes Garner on the way now to Broad, and Broad edges, he's out caught, a third slip by Harper.
Now, is Marshall going to come out? Well, they're waiting. Yes, he looks as if he is going to come out. In fact, everybody was walking off. He's out, caught and bowled. By holding, the bowler had no business getting across there to take that catch, and yet somehow he managed to.
I like any sort of cricket. I can go on the beach and watch fellas play. Once you're male and you're from Barbados and you're of my vintage, you are expected to love the game with a passion, and I think that you'll find that.
Here is Sawan, goes back and chops it into his stumps. He's bowled. Well, the pressure is told, and England get another wicket. The West Indies 235 now for four.
Alan McGilvray taught me a lot about the technique of commentary. He came here in 1965 with Australia, and that was my first time doing commentary on an entire series. So he taught me all sorts of techniques about commentary.
And that's in the air, it's over the top, and let's see if it'll hit in the turf and go all the way. Yes, it does. The boycott lifting it over the top. Perhaps he didn't get hold of it quite as well as he wanted, but that was enough.
I'll give you one example where a bowler is running up, and you hear a number of commentators will say he's on his way and he bowls.
Yes.
McGilvray said, why do you say he's bowling? Why he bowls? Because that's what he's going to do. And you're wasting that fraction of a second where you say he bowls and it's with the batsman already. So just say he's on his way, and then transfer your attention to the batsman.
Here's Powell into Cook, and Cook is hammering it down. He's out caught at backward point. A low catch, well taken by Smith. Cut away, inches from the ground. Smith went down and took it as casual and as easy as you like.
And here is Cook now to Dujon, who sweeps down towards deep backward square. This could be a century. That's it, four runs. Geoffrey Dujon has got a century. His first against England, his first in England, raises the bat above his shoulder, is congratulated by Gordon Greenidge.
Mascarenhas on the way again to Samuels, and Samuels hits it high in the air. This is going to go back, six. Lucky that airliner which is coming in now wasn't in the path when that ball went up.
For listening, as I did when I was at school, you couldn't beat John Arlott. I mean, everyone at school wanted to be John Arlott. Brian Johnston made Test Match Special with his personality. It came through his personality, came through on Test Match Special.
Richards is wrapped in the pad. There's an appeal. He's out leg before. Richards out leg before wicket. Agnew strikes. He's got his second wicket. And what wickets? Greenidge first, and now Richards leg before, shuffling across his stumps. The West Indies are 69 for three.
Botham drives into the gully.
Brilliantly caught by Garner. Magnificent catch by Garner.
Marshall troops back to his mark at that far end. This angled approach, few little stuttering steps before breaking into his quick run-up to Willis, and Willis is bowled. That's the end of the innings. England all out for 286. Willis bowled by Marshall for two.
Last ball of the over, 136 for four. West Indies 56 needed now, as Bravo waits now and is right in behind it. Anderson around the wicket. End of the over. I think that will be my last stint on the day, and probably for the match. And thank you. Cheers.
Doesn't it bring back amazing memories? And it was in this very commentary box in the media centre bearing his name that Tony said goodbye to TMS in that final clip. And as we've said, a series really doesn't feel the same without him. And he can tell you, as a young commentator who made his debut on Test Match Special alongside Jonathan Agnew and Tony Kozier, it's always a very daunting prospect when you're faced with such great voices and the voices that have gone before you doing this job. And it was overwhelming. I remember just sitting at the back of the commentary box at the Aegeus Bowl bowl and then the oval in a series against the West Indies in 2012, just listening to him, just listening to what he said, what he didn't say, and his technique of commentary. Truly one of the voices that made not just cricket great, but West Indies cricket, and also here on Test Match Special. Well, let's hear from some of the many players that Tony Kozier reported on during his career in a moment, Curtly Ambrose and Desmond Haynes. But first, here's Ian Bishop.
Whenever I think West Indies cricket, I think players and I think Tony Kozier. I always look forward to his analysis or his reports in the newspaper as well. And he could do everything, the all-rounder, true cricket all-rounder. And I miss him dearly because he was also a father figure when I came into the commentary box as a very young person after my career was finished. You know, he dealt with me as he would with Mikey, who he'd known for much longer. And he had no ego. I love being around him, listening to his stories, and just couldn't get enough of it.
It was a sad moment because we have grown accustomed to hearing Tony Kozier doing comments from as far as I can remember. And he is probably the best analyst commentator we produce in the Caribbean. And I'm quite sure many other commentators know would have learned a lot from him. And apart from being a great commentator, analyst, he understood cricket. That makes a huge difference. He can analyze the game very well. And it was a sad miss when he passed.
I think a lot of people just before Tony passed away were thinking that the right thing would be to honour him in a big way. I know a lot of talk in Barbados was he should be knighted because of his contribution that he has made. But I remember Tony Kozier from our trips in Australia, where he used to think that he's one of the best calypso singers in the world. And he always used to like to sing the Mighty Sparrow calypsos, and was a lot of fun. But, you know, for someone, you know, when you look at his serious side, his knowledge of the game, I know a lot of my friends used to say to me, I cannot believe that you guys got white Barbadians at home that Kozier sounds like a black person in a white body, you know. But I think he's greatly missed.
You know, outside of cricket, more than that, he would talk about life. He was very funny. And I used to just want to come and sit next to him every time he came to the commentary box, but he sat at his computer doing his work all the time. So, you know, he was always willing to offer advice as well. And if I had a differing opinion, he wouldn't say, boy, shut up, you don't know anything. He would take the opinion on board. And after a while, myself and Jeffrey Dujon started calling him Winston instead of Tony. And he would just laugh, you know, just such a lovable man and a great person. And almost talking about it, sort of well up thinking about him.
His views carried a lot of weight. There are many instances when he will select a 15-man squad and say, well, this is my 15. And more often than not, there may be just maybe one or two difference. So we used to say he probably has inside information. But he's that kind of commentator. He understands cricket and he's always mostly spot when he's selecting a team.
He's watched more cricket than anybody that you can ever think about. He was with the West Indies team from a very early age. You know, from a very early age, he was a journalist, you know, working with his dad. And I think a lot of people remember him for his knowledge of the game and also for the joy that he brought to us, you know, back in the times when there were no television. You know, we had to listen to the radio in order to hear what was going on and to know what's going on with the West Indies team. Guys thought that he was fair. I know that sometimes, you know, it is like anything else. You hate to be criticized. But I think in the end, it used to balance itself out, because if you didn't play a good shot or if he thought that you give it away, you know, he would tell you that you give it away. But what I like about it, that he would not only say it on the radio or on the television, he would tell you personally what he thinks as well.
Tony was just out there. Television and radio and writing was how I got to know about West Indies cricket overseas. So, I mean, those memories are indelible in my mind, and they can't be replaced. You know, what he also brought with that was a worldview, because he was, quote-unquote, a true journalist. So he worked in the news social media stream, reporting proper news, not just sport. And he was able to intertwine all of that experience with the cricket. So when the cricket was slow, he could talk about other things. He could inform, he could educate, he could entertain, which is what the true broadcaster is about, not just with the sport, but with social issues around the Caribbean. And he had a memory like no other. Sometimes I thought, he's reading from a book. Surely he's reading from a book. And no, it was all from memory.
There's never going to be another Tony Kozier. He's been around for at least 60 years, and his legacy will remain. And I don't think there will ever be another Tony Kozier.
Well, that was Kurt Lee Ambrose there, rightly affirming that Tony Kozier simply can't be replaced. Also the thoughts of Desmond Haynes and Ian Bishop as well. Well, I'm delighted to say we're now joined by Hayden Gill, the sports editor at Nation News here in Barbados. Hayden, thank you so much for your time. And what does it mean to you listening to what the West Indian players and the commentary again? I'm sure memories come flooding back.
Yes, certainly wonderful memories have come back, you know, and just hearing the voice of Tony Kozier. The wonderful tributes paid to him. I must say Tony Kozier was incomparable, really. I mean, in the profession that we do, you know, many of us, we either write, we either go on radio, we either go on TV, right? Mm-hmm. Some of us do, maybe two, radio and TV, radio and writing, TV and writing. Tony Kozier, however, is one of the very few who would do all three, and to have done it so consistently and at such a high level, not for 10 years, not for 20 years, not for 30 years, but for more than 40 years, certainly, you know, makes him, you know, a distinguished character at the international level.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Because it is an art in whatever type of broadcasting or written work that you do, that the techniques are so different between one and the other. But he seamlessly moved from television box into the radio commentary box down to the press area.
Yeah, you've put it so wonderfully well. I remember when I first started in the profession back in those days, the commentary box and the media center was down at that end of the ground. And I would just admire him, you know, starting a day, doing half hour on TV, taking a 10-minute break, going into radio for another 20-minute stint, another 10-minute break, and it just went on and on and on. And in between, he's writing. And when cricket is finished and all of us go home, he's there punching away for many different newspapers. I mean, he was really a machine, if you want to call it that way. And, you know, you just had to admire his work.
And we sit here in the media centre, and you know that does bear Tony Kozier's name. And you look around the ground here in Barbados at the Kensington Oval, and then we mention about Worrell Weeks and Walcott that stand there, the Joel Garner end, the Malcolm Marshall end, Greenwich and Haynes, Hall and Griffith, Gary Sobers, and these are names that are synonymous with Barbadian cricket and for West Indies cricket. But it doesn't seem right that, you know, in the home of Tony Kozier in Barbados, or, well, it, of course it is right, because his name is on this media centre. Can we put Tony Kozier into those, even though it wasn't on the field, but those essence of great Barbadian, you know, cricket people?
You would have to, you know. I don't think Tony Kozier is seen, well, he's known way beyond these shores. I imagine he's a household name in England, a household name all over.
Was he a household name here in Barbados?
Oh, more certainly. Actually, and there was a suggestion from no less a person than Sir Wesley Hall that perhaps the Wanderers Ground, of which Tony was a member for a number of years, which is close to his home, that the Wanderers Ground renamed the Tony Kozier Oval. I mean, that it was in such high acclaim and such high regard that Tony Kozier has been held. The naming of the media centre here at Kensington Oval is recognition of the contribution that he has made, but I believe that, you know, much more can be done, you know, on his legacy.
We, back in the UK, of course, would have heard him, you know, for countless number of years on Test Match Special, also on our television coverage as well. But, and we, you know, at the time of his death, we had lots of tributes coming in from people around the world, but you know, from the UK as well, talking about their memories of him. What about the memories of the people here in Barbados and what how he was considered by all?
I think he would have to be regarded as a legend. I have several personal memories of Tony Kozier. Tony Kozier was the one who provided me with many opportunities during my early days, right? As a teenager, when I was just 19 years old, I just got into journalism, did a bit of freelancing, and Tony Kozier offered me the opportunity to contribute for his magazine, the magazine that he would put out every quarter, the Red Stripe Cup Cricket Quarterly Magazine. At the age of just 19, right? I got on staff of the Nation newspaper a couple of months after, and very early into my career, when Tony was probably trying to gradually reduce his workload, he, at the time, he didn't want to cover one day internationals for the print media anymore, so he recommended to our then editor-in-chief, Harold Hoyt, that young Hayden, as green as he is, be given a chance to go around the Caribbean and cover one day internationals. And I did so, you know, very early in my career, and I will always be, you know, indebted to the opportunities that Tony gave me. It certainly helped a lot in my personal growth and development.
What tips did he give you?
Okay, let me backtrack. Even before I got into journalism, I would listen to Tony Kozar doing commentary on the radio. I would tape him off, right? And at night, when I'm going to bed, I have the tapes rolling, right? I would photocopy a number of his newspaper articles and read them over and over. You know, as a writer, you have your own style, right? But for me personally, Tony Kozar was the template that I used when I started. I could go on and on about the role he has played, but certainly I would say he played a significant role in my development as a journalist.
And it tells you something about the man, doesn't it? That you mentioned at 19 years old, and it was also talked about by the cricketers that we heard from before, from Desmond Hayne, from Ian Bishop, and especially what Ian Bishop had to say, that, you know, during commentary stints, he would go and sit next to Tony Kozar, and he took all opinions on. Age wasn't a factor to him, as it proved to be so with you. As a young journalist, it didn't matter that you were 19 years old, but he obviously saw something in you to, and therefore you could progress throughout, sort of through the ranks, if you like.
Yes, he always had time for you. As busy as he was, you know, you can go and sit next to him in the press box. He'll give you advice on, you know, everything, you know. So I speak not only for myself, but for many other journalists in the profession who would have been youngsters during my period, many of them would speak highly of the contribution that he would have played with, you know, developing them as well.
His death was 10 months ago.
Yeah, last May, yeah.
How did Barbados react?
It was with a sense of shock. We knew he wasn't well. Huh? For a number of years he had been, you know, having his challenges. But, you know, when it comes, it is always a shock. At the time, many were surprised, but the huge outpouring of tributes that immediately followed certainly was a reflection of the high esteem in which Tony Kozar was held.
I mean, I'm assuming it was front page news, was it, and Nation News?
It was back page news.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Back page news, but certainly given, you know, high degree of prominence, and in the days that followed, we had a number of tributes from here, there, everywhere, just coming in. You know, unbelievable in my estimation. I have not really seen, you know, that level of tributes being paid to anyone here. But again, as I say, it was certainly, it was a reflection of the high esteem in which Tony Kozar was held worldwide.
And you mentioned that about being a newspaper journalist, because it's very easy to say Tony Kozar the commentator.
Yeah.
Whether it be radio and television, but he was, I hate to put it in inverted commas, but he was a proper journalist. That was his bread and butter, really, wasn't it?
Yes, and actually he went beyond a sports journalist, because at one point he was the editor of our Sunday Sun paper, which is our flagship publication, and following that he was also our senior editor, which, in modern day language, would equate to the managing editor. So he was actually in charge of the editorial department. So he was, you know, simply beyond cricket. He was also at one time the president of the Barbados Hockey Federation. So Tony Kozar was an all-rounder, as I think it was Ian Bishop who put it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when you think of him as well, I mean, this is one of the battles that, especially in the world of social media now and the modern day media age, is that it is very difficult for any journalist or commentator to have the level of respect from players whilst they're doing their job. And nobody had a bad word to say whilst he was alive and in his death. Nobody had a bad word to say about him. Was that a difficult balance for Tony, do you feel?
No, not really, because I think Tony Kozar was the consummate professional. I think, again, it was Desmond Haynes who said he was fair, so he was always balanced. So once you're fair and balanced over time, you develop a reputation and people can look to you and trust you and people see you as an authority, and that is what Tony Kozar precisely was. And I don't think he would have had any challenges at all, really.
But he was quite outspoken towards the back end of his life and you know, in the last 10 years or so, on the demise. I mean, of course, he would have commentated, you know, over 50 years of great West Indian teams through the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s and 80s, and then obviously West Indies was in decline, and he had plenty to say on the subject. I mean, after all, he's watched every single era, it would seem.
You say outspoken. I might tend to differ. I think he called it as he see it, as he had done for a number of years. However, you have to bear in mind that when he did it for the early part of his career, and for the vast majority, it was the glory days of the West Indies. in his last, 10, 15 years, things not as rosy as they were. And perhaps having to still, again, as I say, call it as he saw it. You know, some might have had, you know, a different interpretation of what he was saying, but in the end, I thought he was always fair.
That was the aspect of it after seeing what he'd seen over the last years. And to be just brutally honest, and the passion for which he held West Indies cricket emanated from the written word that he posted. Noted number of articles on Cricinfo when West Indies were really at the lowest of ebbs in their cricket. But from here on in, it comes to the replacement of Tony Kozar, if you like. I mean, can he ever be replaced in the eyes of West Indies cricket watchers and listeners?
I hardly think so. I myself, talking about what I did as a youngster, when I was 10 years old, I said I wanted to be the next Tony Kozar. But obviously, at the age of 10, what do I know? By the time I was 20, I realized that it would be impossible to become the next Tony Kozar. So you know what? You phrase it differently. You try to do things that Tony Kozar did. So I think that is the best that we can try to do. But I would say, without a doubt, that Tony Kozar is irreplaceable.
I mean, what is your... I mean, is there a moment that you look back on your time as a mentor for you as a young journalist, and or maybe even, like you say, listening to him on the television or radio doing it? Is there a moment in Tony's life and that really sort of resonates with you, Hayden?
That will call for something. I can't pinpoint anyone because there were so many. I mean, just the overall package that he brought, I think the body of work was so outstanding. It's perhaps just a little difficult at this moment, to just zoom in on one.
But look, it's been great talking to you, and it's wonderful to hear your views and to remember a great man. And we throw away the word legend too many times, but to those who don't warrant it. But Tony Kozar is certainly one that does.
Well deserved. Pleasure chatting with you as well, Charles.
All right, thank you. Hayden Gill from Nation News here in Barbados with us in the Test Match Special commentary box. Hope you've enjoyed the memories of Tony Kozar, and will always be remembered in especially in these parts, especially in Barbados, and always in the thoughts, I'm sure, of your listening to Test Match Special.